بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد. Yesterday we discussed Surah Al-Qari'ah, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the Day of Judgment. And in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is discussing how people become distracted from the reality of the Day of Judgment. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألهاكم التكاثر. You are distracted by mutual competition in amassing worldly benefits. حَتَّى زُرْتُمُ الْمَقَابِرِ, until you reach the graves. كَلَّا سَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ, no, never, this is not the correct attitude. You will soon know the reality. ثُمَّ كَلَّا سَوْفَ يَتَعْلَمُونَ, again, you will soon know. كَلَّا لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ عِلْمَ الْيَقِينَ, no, never, only if you knew it with a sure knowledge. لَتَرَوُنَّ الْجَحِيمَ, you will certainly see the hell, you will certainly see the fire. ثُمَّ لَتَرَوُنَّهَا عَيْنَ الْيَقِينَ, then you will see it with full certitude, with full certainty. ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ, then you will be asked about all the pleasures, all the blessings, all the bounties you enjoyed in the world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts by saying, أَلْحَاكُمُ التَّكَاثُرُ. Takathur has distracted you. What does takathur mean? Takathur means competing in amassing any aspect of this world. In amassing any aspect of this world. In this world, primarily speaking, a person has two objectives. One objective is to go gain those things which give him pleasure, which give him enjoyment. And the other thing is that the other thing which people amass is the aspects, means of popularity and fame, of status. So some people, they have more love for pleasure, for enjoyment. They're not bothered about status, about fame, about popularity. Other people, more than enjoying themselves, more than pleasure, their aim is, I want a status, I want fame, I want to become popular. So love for pleasure, love for enjoyment, or love for fame, status, popularity. These are two aspects of the world which people are always vying for, which people want as much as possible. And there is a third aspect of this world, wealth. And wealth in itself, a £5 note, a £10 note, in itself, wealth is not an objective. Wealth is only an objective because everyone knows what that it can be used to fulfill my enjoyments, fulfill my pleasure, or it can be used, it's a means to gain a status, to gain popularity, to gain fame. So these are things which people aim for in this world. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying people are so obsessed with it, they are so obsessed in competing with it, that they become distracted from the hereafter. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word al-haakum. What does al-haakum mean? Al-haakum means that a person has an important task. A person has an exam tomorrow and it's a very vital exam. He knows he has to revise for it. But something distracts him, because of which he becomes occupied in something which, never mind being of a lower purpose, it has no purpose at all. He is busy revising, and someone sends him some link on social media or something, some news article, and he starts looking at the news with no purpose. So on one side is something which has a purpose. On the other side is something which has no purpose. It has no benefit. And a person stops doing this and he starts doing that instead. This is called al-haakum. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, this is exactly what's happened to you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing mankind in general. That you've become obsessed with competing for this, competing for that. So one is that a person, he gains enough, he earns enough wealth to fulfill his needs. There is a real understandable purpose to this. A purpose which Deen accepts as well, that a person gains enough to fulfill his needs, to live a comfortable life. Deen says that as long as you are not breaking the rules of Sharia, there is no harm in this. In fact, it encourages it. But beyond that, just to add those extra zeros to the bank balance, or to all those extra enjoyments, that extra status, A person is being distracted. For some people are so distracted that they don't even get the tawfiq to gain iman. They don't get the tawfiq to think about what is my purpose in life. They don't get the tawfiq to gain iman. And some people have iman, like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with. But sometimes we become distracted as well. We lose sight of the purpose. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and in this surah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to cure this problem. He's given us advice ahead to cure this problem, to cure this negligence. But in the hadith as well, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after reciting this verse, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that insan, the human, he says, this is my wealth, this is my wealth. He says it or he thinks. He looks around. When he looks at his bank balance, he's someone who has made a lot of, I have this much. Or he buys something expensive. He buys a house, he buys a car. He thinks this is mine. And thereafter, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that what belongs to a human? What belongs to a human is what he eats and it's finished. What he wears, and he wears it so much that after that it becomes useless, it's rags, it has to be thrown away. Basically, what he uses fully and after that it's gone, that's what is his. Or otherwise, what he spends in the path of Allah, so it goes into the bank of the hereafter. Otherwise, all the other wealth he has, he's bought a house, he's bought two houses, he's bought a car, he's bought two cars. He hasn't finished it all. In reality, it belongs to his inheritors. The moment he passes away, everything belongs to something else, someone else. And those people who vie to earn a lot, this is always the case, that the majority of what they earn, they don't utilize fully themselves. It's for the inheritors. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said this regarding this verse. Hatta zurtumul maqabir, until you reach the graves. This verse literally means until you visit the graves. But here, it doesn't mean you visit the graves, meaning you are alive and you go and visit the graveyard. It means that until your death comes and you have to visit the graveyard, meaning you are placed in the grave, then this distraction will be gone. A person knows there is an exam tomorrow, a very important exam, and he knows that importance should be given to preparing for that. He's not preparing for that. And eventually, the reality will open when he gets that fail, that paper that says fail. Or when he goes into exam and he realizes that I am failing. So in the same way, the grave is the first stage of the hereafter. A person will realize, his eyes will open then. We say people, his eyes closed, meaning he passed away. When a person's eyes closed, then in reality his eyes open. When his eyes closed, then in reality his eyes open at that time. Hatta zurtumul maqabir, until you visit the graves. And why is the word visiting being used? When you go to somewhere to visit, you don't go there permanently, do you? After that, you're going to go back home. So Allah Ta'ala said, until you visit the graves, meaning this is not your permanent home. After that, Jannah or Jahannam is a person's permanent home. The graves is just a visit, it's just a taste of what is to come back home. Kalla sawfa ta'alamu. When you use kalla, kalla is translated as no, it's considered never. It's used to shake someone out of some misconception which they have. Kalla, no, never. Meaning, what are you thinking of? This is not the correct attitude. Sawfa ta'alamu. Soon you will know the reality. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says it again. When there is something very seemingly obvious. Something seemingly obvious. But a person isn't paying attention to it. Then to drive home the point, you will say it more than once. There is a plague outside, there is some widespread illness outside, some dangerous illness, it's spreading, everyone knows. And someone in your family is just carelessly going out. Then you will tell him more than once, do you know what you're doing? And the next thing, why on earth are you going outside? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying it again. ثُمَّ كَلَّا سَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ. Soon you will know. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, كَلَّا لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ عِلْمَ الْيَقِينَ. Never know, if you knew it with a sure knowledge. If only you knew it with a sure knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the words, عِلْمُ الْيَقِينَ. عِلْمُ الْيَقِينَ. Now, ahead Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to mention عَيْنُ الْيَقِينَ. So there are three levels of yaqeen. Yaqeen means certainty. There are three levels of certainty. The first level of certainty is that someone tells you about something and that you believe them. they're reliable, so you have certainty over it. Let me give a very simple example. You've never, for example, let's say you've never seen a mango before. You've never eaten a mango before. Someone tells you, someone you know, someone who is that, you know, in India, there is this fruit called a mango. It looks like this, and it's very, very tasty. And this person is reliable, he's not a liar. So now you have certainty on what he's saying. That is ilmul yaqeen. That because of someone informing you, or because of evidence, you come to know of something. After that, that is certainty. You 100% believe that. But after that, there is a level of certainty and a level of conviction which is higher. What is that? That's when you see it with your own eyes. A person, then he travels to India, and there he sees someone eating a mango. So he's seen the mango, and he sees them eating it, and he sees that they're enjoying themselves. So before he was informed that there's a fruit called mango, it looks like this, and it's very enjoyable to eat. Then he saw it with his own eyes. Whenever you see something with your own eyes, your level of conviction and certainty increases, even if you believed in it already. After that comes a higher level of knowledge, which is mentioned elsewhere in the Quran, which is called haqqul yaqeen. And this higher level of certainty is gained when you experience it yourself. So someone gives you a mango, and then you taste it. Then the conviction you have of how enjoyable it is, how pleasurable it is of a higher level. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ عِلْمَ الْيَوْمِ. In this world, we can't see the hereafter. We can't see Jannah, Jahannam. But we have enough knowledge by means of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the information he's given us, the proof that he's put in front of us, to understand that the hereafter is much more important, that Jannah, Jahannam is there, and that's what's really worth working towards. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that لَوْ تَعْلَمُونَ عِلْمَ الْيَقِينَ. If only you made that effort and gained that level of conviction. Why? Because ahead Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that if you don't do that in this world, then in the hereafter, you will definitely gain that conviction by seeing it with your own eyes. لَتَرَوُنَّ الْجَحِيمِ. You will certainly see Jahannam, you will certainly see the hell. ثُمَّ لَتَرَوُنَّهَا عِينَ الْيَقِينَ. Then you will see it with full certitude, meaning at that time, you will see it in front of you. But then it's too late to prepare for it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in the final verse, he mentions that then you will be asked about, you will be questioned about all the pleasures, all the bounties which you enjoyed in this world. Why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying this? Because right at the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that you're being distracted. By what? By vying for worldly pleasures, by competing for wealth. And it's distracting you from your purpose. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that, remember, all of that wealth which you're amassing, all of those pleasures which you are enjoying, and you think that I am gaining a lot. When you look at someone who doesn't have as much as you, then you think, I'm enjoying the life that they used to enjoy. And many a time, when people who are not so religious, look at people who are religious, they think this as well. His life is so dry. He has to force himself to go to the masjid every day 5 times. He doesn't go here, he doesn't go there. He doesn't watch films, he doesn't do this, he can't listen to music. He can't enjoy himself like this, like that. His life is so dry. Whereas in reality, the people who obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their life is not dry. That is a separate topic altogether. But Allah in this verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that those people who amass a lot of the world, they think that we're doing so much for ourselves. But in the hereafter, a person will be questioned for every single blessing he has. Even a person who is religious, even if there are two people who are religious who are practicing, one of them has been given a lot in this world, the other hasn't been given much in this world. So both of them will go in Jannah. But the first one will go in Jannah much quicker, because he will be questioned for what he was given, which wasn't much. And the second one will be questioned for everything that he was given, which is much more. That is why in a hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that on the day of judgment, the people who are poor will go into the people who are poor and obedient. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this hadith is comparing the obedient poor people to the obedient wealthy people. So both will go in Jannah. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the poor obedient people will go in Jannah 500 years before the wealthy obedient people go in Jannah. Why? Because their questioning will be very quick. Because they will be questioned for the blessings that Allah has given them. And the people who are wealthy and who had a lot more blessings, even if they were obedient, they will be questioned for all of that. That is why our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's attitude was, in light of many ahadith we understand this, that if he had any spare wealth, then he would get worried that I will be questioned about it on the Day of Judgment. Whereas of course he is going to be from those who will enter Jannah without reckoning. But it was his humility. And to teach them that his worry was that I will be questioned about it. So he would try to spend it as quick as possible. If there was wealth in his house, and he had to sleep the night with that wealth that he didn't need, but for some reason it was so much that he was unable to distribute it the same day, he would get worried that what if I pass away tonight, then I will have to be questioned for that wealth as well. So of course we're not of that level that, you know, we don't keep any wealth. But a person should have this much understanding that after he reaches a comfortable stage, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept him comfortable in life, then whatever, number one, his focus should become the hereafter. And number two, whatever extra Allah ta'ala gives it, he should think, how can I use this to make my hereafter? You use something to make your hereafter, that means you send it forward to the hereafter. That means it's permanently yours. It's permanently yours. And you keep it in the bank in this world, that means when you pass away, it's going to become someone else's. So if you want to make something permanently yours, the method is to send it forward to the hereafter. ثُمَّ لَتُسْأَلُنَّ يَوْمَئِذٍ عَنِ النَّعِيمِ. Soon you will be asked about all the pleasures you enjoyed in this world. You will be questioned about them. There is a hadith narrating this, which I wish to finish it with, that once Sayyidina Umar radiallahu anhu, he came out of his house. And he came out because he was extremely hungry. He was extremely hungry, so he came out of his house. There was nothing to eat at home. He came out of his house, why? Number one, to forget about the hunger, sitting there doing nothing with it. And number two, he thought that, you know, maybe I might. He didn't have anything in the pocket to buy food, but he thought that, you know, maybe Allah, I might end up with some food somehow or other. He came out like this. He was walking or so, and he met Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. They were very close friends. Upon talking to him, he realized that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's condition is the same. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's condition is the same. So both of them are going with the same purpose. And they met Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They met Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They were also very close friends of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Upon conversing with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they realized his condition is also the same. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, come on, let us go to so and so sahabi. And they went to a sahabi radiallahu anhu, what his name was, the different narrations. But they went to a certain sahabi radiallahu anhu. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew that this sahabi, he will be happy to host us. In fact, he would love to host us. So they went to his house. They asked that where is. So they were informed that the sahabi, he is out and about, he will be back soon. So they waited there. When the sahabi came, that he was very happy that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, etc., and his two companions are here. And he quickly gives them some dates, some fresh dates. Whilst they were eating the fresh dates, he prepared a meal and he gave it to them. To cut a story short. After that, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they had eaten. So look, this is not a normal meal. They were starving. And they just had a meal. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned this verse, that you will be asked about the favors. Umar radiallahu anhu, he was sitting there, he said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that I'm saying in my own words, that basically we were starving, this was absolutely necessary for us, and we're going to be asked about it on the Day of Judgment. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, yes, you will be asked about everything on the Day of Judgment. Meaning, how did you use it? That energy, I gave you this blessing, in return, how did you use it? Did you obey me? Did you use that to disobey me? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask about that. Thereafter, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Umar radiallahu anhu, that yes, you will be asked for every single blessing. But if a person recites two du'as, if a person recites two du'as, one before eating and one after eating, then that meal which he ate, he will not be questioned about on the Day of Judgment. So it will be the fadl of Allah. Allah Ta'ala will not ask him anything about that. What is this du'a before eating and this du'a after eating? So the du'a before eating, we all know, and many of us recite. But the du'a after eating, which comes in the same hadith, But for some reason, it's not so well known amongst us. The dua before eating that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned in this hadith is Bismillah wa barakatillah, which we all know. The dua which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned after eating in this hadith is Alhamdulillahi alladhi huwa ashba'ana wa arwana wa an'ama alayna wa afdal. It's also a short dua. Alhamdulillahi alladhi huwa ashba'ana. All praises to Allah huwa ashba'ana, who satiated us, who filled our bellies. Wa arwana, and who quenched our thirst. Wa an'ama alayna wa afdal, and who gave us many great blessings. So it's a short dua, Alhamdulillah alladhi huwa ashba'ana wa arwana wa anam alayna wa afdal. If you can, inshallah, you'll put it on the notice board, and if you ask any alim, he will be able to find it for you. But a person should learn these two duas. He should recite them before eating, after eating, and in general with all the blessings of Allah Ta'ala. A person should use them wisely. He should use them for the hereafter. He should have this understanding that I have more, means I will be more thoroughly questioned on the Day of Judgment. May Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to practice upon this. Ameen. Wa akhiru da'wana. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. صلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله